Revelation chapter 10. The Bible is provided. It's page 1479. People of God, hear the word of the Lord. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven, and the things that therein are, and the earth, and the things that therein are, and the sea, and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again, and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel, which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel, and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it, and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples, and nations, and tongues, and kings. Thus is the reading of God's word. You may be seated. Congregation, I remind you where we have come from. We've been in the trumpets. The fifth trumpet has sounded. Antichrist has risen up above that which was preventing him, which was the emperors of the Roman Empire. And then we have the sixth trumpet sound. And in the sixth trumpet, what we have is the Muhammad religion, the Islam, going out throughout all the lands and conquering and killing a third of the known world. And we have here an interlude. Chapters 10 and 11 are an interlude between the sixth trumpet and then the blowing of the seventh. This exact same pattern happened with the seals. You had a break between the sixth seal and the loosing of the seventh. Because from the seventh seal came the unloosing, so to say, of the trumpets. And from the seventh trumpet will come the vials. And so this is the pattern of this prophecy, that we would have this interlude. This interlude is necessary because of the terribleness of the first two woes. Remember, the fifth trumpet is the first woe, the sixth trumpet, the second woe, and that seventh trumpet will be the third, as all the vials are unfolded. And so these woes are great upon the earth, upon the church, and because of that, there needs to be some consolation. You can see the gentleness of Jesus Christ for giving us chapters 10 and 11. And indeed, it is Jesus Christ which chapter 10 begins with. Notice that the scripture says a mighty angel, and describes this angel in a way that only Jesus Christ can be described. He is clothed with a cloud. There's none in Scripture described this way except for the deity, for Jesus Christ now as God. You have the feet as pillars of fire. You have the face as the sun. You have this rainbow above his head. In the prophets, when it talked about such things, it was always in the throne room of grace. And so you have Jesus Christ represented as the mighty angel. He's called, of course, in the scriptures, the angel of the covenant. So this should be no surprise to us at all. And he is mighty. He has a little book. And the commentators are diverse on what this little book is, but they're all agreed on this point, and this is because it's clear in the scripture that this little book has as its content the gospel. And that's why once it's eaten by John, who's representing the apostolic succession of gospel ministers, right? That we believe in apostolic succession, but not in the way that Rome teaches it, but in the way in which it's taught here. The same way that John was a gospel minister and apostle and laid hands by the act of presbytery on men and men, so does it go on unto all gospel ministers, which are commissioned to preach the same message of the gospel. And so it's given that after this time, this is the consolation, after this time of great darkness, the dark ages, right, of Antichrist rising and having dominion in the church, after he is thrown aside, it's coming up, it's predicted, you have this renewal, revival of the gospel being preached, and this little book being that which is preserved in the hands of Jesus Christ. Notice he holds it. He holds it. It must be our scriptures. Indeed, it's the gospel when you consider it generally and at large. But specifically, when you think about what's necessary for the gospel to be preached by mere men who are not apostles, but have apostolic commission to preach the gospel, they require a Bible. They're not doing it on their own authority. They're doing it on a derived authority, and that from the scriptures. So this little book must be this scripture, the gospel, yes, but the scriptures as necessary unto that end for the preaching of the word. And it shows what nature the gospel ministers must be preaching, that they have this eaten. The church eats the scripture. We eat this. We're sustained by it. We're fed by it. We confess it. And so it is, and it should be no surprise that this little book is that Bible by which the church has always been sustained, and that which especially is sustained after the throwing aside of Antichrist. And so when we look at the Reformation church, we should not be surprised that there was a Bible that came out of that, that was the once and true and preserved Bible of all time, and that this is which our ministers eat, this is which by which our ministers preach, and this is the very basis of the gospel that we preach, the authority thereunto. Every church must build itself on that foundation. And the Bible of the Reformation is the Bible which is hated by the Roman church. It's hated not only by the fifth trumpet, but by the sixth trumpet. It's hated by Islam. They're much happier with that which is more corrupted and being admitted as corrupted by the modern church. But we must stand on that Reformation witness, which we are promised here in Revelation chapter 10. The little book, which is taken and eaten by gospel ministers, as represented here by John, and must be prophesied to every people, every nation, every tongue. Every king must bow. Every king, do you see it says kings? Let not this nation and its doctrine against this fact be something that we start to internalize. Kings must bow to this Bible, no matter what their religion. That's what this is teaching. Revelation 10. We're going to respond to this with Psalm 119, selection N from your Blue Psalters. Your Blue Psalters, 119, selection N. Your word's a lamp. Your word's a lamp unto our feet to guide us by the way. This is for Christians, this is for magistrates, this is for kings, this is for nations, this is for peoples, this is for tribes, this is for families. That the word is supreme, the word is supreme because it is the authority by which we preach this gospel. What a wonderful thing this is. Psalm 119N, you can see how it's very fitting for a response to this prophecy of the little book, that consolation that Antichrist cannot extinguish the gospel. He will try, but he will not. He is not successful, but there will come out a time of great revival and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit. And so you see how this is confirmed in a vow that's sworn. I didn't have time to tell you about the vow taken by the archangel of the covenant, but I pray you'll be able to put it together, especially as you look at this psalm and see that Jesus is the one really singing this first. We only sing it in him, in union with him. He's the one that makes the vow. He's the one that swore by the righteous judgments that